Morning. Today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Mem Ches. We left off yesterday, the banim of Mem Zayin and Mabez, the two dots, six lines up from the banim of the Amud. Today continues exclusively with the discussion of the Mishnah that we saw yesterday about the about various situations in which somebody brings something into the chatzar of somebody else. What the halacha is going to be, whether that when that thing damages something else in the chatzar belonging to the bala chatzar, or whether something belonging to the bala chatzar damages the thing that the other fellow introduced into the chatzar, that the halacha is going to turn on whether the person had rishus to bring it in or not. So today we're going to discuss what exactly we're going to discuss other situations involving Bershush, Alo Bershush, what type of Shmira exactly the Bala Chatzar is Makabal on himself when he lets the other person bring the thing in. And then we're going to discuss again the Shita of Rebbe as to whether one has to make an express assumption of Shmira if he allows somebody else to bring something into his chatzar, or whether we can assume that if he says that the person can bring the thing into his chatzar, then he automatically takes upon himself the responsibility of guarding that item. So let's pick up again. It's the two dots, Mem Zayin Amud Beis, six lines up from the bottom of the Amud. So Yibayluhu says, the Gemara poses a question. Hecha de Kabbalah le'nitirusa mahu. When a person accepts the responsibility to guard something belonging to somebody else that the person brings into his chatzar, what type of shmira is he being mekabel on himself? Denafshei dekibel aleo, is he mekabel on himself shmira denafshei, meaning that that the bala chatzar's own objects won't damage the thing that the other person brings into the chatzar? Odilma afilin etirusa diyama kabel aleo, or maybe. He accepts upon himself even nitirusa d'alma. And what's nitirusa d'nafshei? So Rashi points out nitirusa d'nafshei is if the bala chatzar permits the other fellow to bring his ox, let's say, into his chatzar, then the type of shmira that he's accepting on himself is that the bala chatzar's ox won't gore the other ox that's in the chatzar. However, to accept upon himself the responsibility of guarding it from damage caused by third parties, maybe the Bala Chatzar doesn't assume that responsibility. What's damage caused by third party? So the damage caused by a third party would be if a shar belonging to some other random person comes into the yard of the Bala Chatzar and gores the shar that's in the yard of the Bala Chatzar. Did the Bala Chatzar accept upon himself that level of Shmira or not? Tosfos over here asks, it's the second to last Tosfos on the Yomud, Dibra Maschel, Tosfos says, Vim Tomer, Dafilo Nishbar Baruch, Mitzuyar Malal Dekibel. I don't understand what this question is. We had seen earlier that when the Bala Chatzar permits the potter to bring his pots into his Chatzar, then we had said that the Bala Chatzar is accepting a total Shmira on those pots, even if they burst on account of a Ruach Mitzuyah, even if they burst on account of a wind that blows. So shouldn't it be obvious then when a person allows somebody to bring something into his Rishus, he accepts upon himself a total Shmira? So says Tosfos, no, there's no Raya from there. V'yesh lomar d'miboy le'ihai d'ichu b'alma olo. Well, what we're asking is, that observation that we made, that when a person allows a potter to bring something into his rishos, he accepts on himself a total level of shmira, comprehensive level of shmira, is that the halacha? Or were we stam making a dichui over there? Or were we just posing that as a possibility in the Gemara? Tosva says now an alternative answer that in a certain sense, when a person allows somebody to bring his shor into his chatzar, the bala chatzar is assuming responsibility of guarding the shor. The question is, how far-fetched the case do we have to get? And so Tosfos says, it's more mistaber that when the person permits the shor to enter his chatzar, he is accepting upon himself responsibility that if that shor later leaves his chatzar, the bala chatzar is going to be responsible to make sure that another shor doesn't gore it. Because it's common, once he leaves the confines of the chatzar, to be gored by another shor. However, to take upon himself a level of shmira to prevent that shor in his chatzer from being gored by another shor of a third party that's going to come running into his chatzer and gore, that's not shchiach, and therefore, says Tosfos, maybe he doesn't accept upon himself that level of shmira. But in any event, the Gemara poses this question. When a person allows something to be brought into his chatzer, is he himself only undertaking not to have his own possessions damage the thing, or is he accepting upon himself a greater level of shmira not to permit anybody else from damaging the thing? Tashma, the Gemara proves. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda bar Simon ben Ezekin, the Beit Karna. Rabbi Yehuda bar Simon learned the Maseches in Seder Ezekin in the Beis Medrash of Karna. Hichnes peros of lechatzer balabaya shelo bershus. If somebody brings his peros into the chatzer of a balabaya shelo bershus, ubashar mimakam achar biachlan, and a shar comes from somebody from someplace else and eats those peros in the chatzer balabayas, then potter. Then the balabais is going to be putter. Why? Because the fellow who brought the peros in had no permission to bring his peros in. Vim hichnes bershus chayev. And if he's machnes and bershus, then he is going to be chayev. Who do we assume is chayev? The balachatzer is chayev, we assume, even if the shor came from someplace else and ate the peros in his chatzer. Some man pater, man chayev. Lav pater balachatzer v'chayev balachatzer. Doesn't it mean that the balachatzer is pater in the first case because the balperos had no right to be there? But where the balachatzer did give rishus to the balaperos, the balachatzer is going to be chayev, even though the peros were damaged. How? By a shor of somebody else walking into the guy's rishus and eating the peros. So we see that when a person gives permission for somebody else to leave things in his chatzer, he's accepting upon himself a guarding not only of his own shor, but also of anybody else's shor who might come and gore, or might come and do damage. Samri lo, no, that's not what it means, says the Gemara. Pater balashor uchaya balashor. It means that the balashor's pater versus the balashor's chayev. So says the Gemara, v'vi balashor, my brishosu my shalo brishosika. If we're talking about the balashor, then why are you talking about brishos and shalo brishos? What difference does it make whether the peros were left in the yard with rishos? In other words, we're talking about, again, the fact pattern is there's a bala chatzar. He gives permission for somebody who owns peros to leave peros in his chatzar. A shor owned by a third party walks into the chatzar and does damage to the peros. So the question is somebody going to be chayev? We said that the somebody who's going to be chayev or potter is the bala chatzar. The Gemara now says no, it's the bala shor. But by the bala shor, what were Rishus Shalobershus? This bala shor is a third party shor, had no business in this guy's chatzar, period. The only people with whom Rishus and Shalobershus are relevant here are the bala chatzar and the bala peros, not the bala shor. So Amri, so says the Gemara, my Bershus and my Shalobershus Ika. So Amri Bershus, if the Bala Peros brought the Peros in Bershus, and the Bala Chatzar permitted the Bala Peros to leave his Peros there, then Avala Shein Bershus HaNizak, then it's going to be considered to be Shein Bershus HaNizak. So why is it considered to be Shein? It's considered to be Shein because over here the Shor ate the Peros. Why is it Bershus HaNizak? It's in the Chatzar. It's not in the Rishus of the Bala Peros. It's the Bala Peros who was damaged. Well, so Rashi says it's Bershus HaNizak because when the Bala Chatzar gives permission to the Bala Peros to leave his Peros there, he actually is makne to him a little portion of his Chatzar where he could leave the Peros. Therefore, it's considered to be Shein in the Rishus HaNizak. Bershein Bershus HaNizak HaYeves. And Shein Bershus HaNizak is Chayev. Shelo Bershus Havila Shein Bershus HaRabim. If the Bala Peros left his Peros in the Chatzar Shelo Bershus, then it's considered to be a case of Shein Bershus HaRabim. Rashi points out Bershus HaRabim is Lav Dafka because it's definitely not a Bershus HaRabim. Worst case scenario, it's a Chatzar that's owned by the Bala Chatzar. But Rashi says, Lagabe the Bala Peros, it's a Rishus HaRabim, meaning he has no right to be there. And therefore, if the ox owned by a third party comes and does damage to the peros, it's considered to be Shein Rishus HaRabim, and Shein Rishus HaRabim is Ptura. So yes, we're talking about whether the Bala Shor is Chayev or Potter. Why does the Chiyev of the Bala Shor have to turn, why does it turn with whether the Bala Peros had a right to be there or not? Because whether the Bala Peros had a right to be there or not can determine whether it's going to be Shein Bershus HaYochid and he's going to be Chayev Bershus HaNizik and he's going to be Chayev, or whether it's going to be Shein Bershus HaRabim and he's going to be Potter. Says the Gemara Vayta. Toshma, another Raya. If a person brings his shor into the chatzar of a balabaya shalobar shos, ubo shor mimakam acher v'nagcho, potter, and a shor comes from someplace else and gores that shor in the chatzar of the balabayas, potter, then it's going to be potter. Vim hichnis bershos, and if you bring it in bershos, and if the bala chatzar gives permission to the bala shor to come in, then chayev, then he's going to be chayev. So again, we assume who's going to be chayev. We assume the bala chatzar is going to be chayev. He's going to be chayev even if a shor came from outside and gored the other shor in his chatzar, because the assumption is that when the bala chatzar gives permission to bring the shor into the chatzar, he's accepting upon himself not only shmira from his own possessions, but shmira even that the shor shouldn't be damaged by a third party. So says the Gemara again, same conversation. Man patar man chayiv. Lav patar bala chatzar v'chayiv bala chatzar. Says the Gemara, lo patar bala shor v'chayiv bala shor. So we're talking about whether the shor owned by the third party, whether the third party is going to be chayiv or patar for doing damage to the other shor in the chatzar of the bala chatzar. Says the Gemara, well, iachi my brishus and my shalob brishus ika. If we're talking about the bala shor, so what difference does it make whether it was shabrishus or shabalob brishus? There was never a distinction between rishus and lo rishus as it relates to the bala shor, because he's tam a third party. So Amri Hamani, Rabbi Tarfani, nah, this is Rabbi Tarfan. It makes a difference whether the bala shor had a right to be in the chatzar before the third party shor came in and gored it. Why? Because Rav Tarfon says that Mishuna Karen B'chatzar HaNizak Nezek Shalim Mishalim. So Rav Tarfon has a chiddush that even though, generally speaking, a Tam pays Chatzi Nezek and only a Muad pays Nezek Shalim, Rav Tarfon's chiddush is that if the damage was done in the Rishus HaNizak, that's so Mishuna, that shows such a level of brazenness by the ox, that it's a Mishuna Dika behavior, and since it's a Mishuna Dika behavior, the owner of the ox has to pay Nezek Shalim. Ah, so now I understand, because whether the ox was in the bala chatzar with rishus or not is going to drive whether this is considered to be keren b'rishus hanizak. So the Gemara spells this out. So b'rishus, havi le keren b'chatzar hanizak u'mashalei nezak shalem. If the bala shor had permission to be in the chatzar, then when the other shor comes into the chatzar and gores the shor, it's considered to be keren b'rishus hanizak. Again, Rashi points out that when the bala chatzar gives permission to the shor to stay there, he's actually being makne a portion of his chatzar to the bala shor. So it's considered to be keren b'rishus hanizak, and he's chayev nezak shalem. Shelo b'rishus havile keren b'rishus harabim v'lo mashal man l'chatzi nezak. However, if the bala shor never had permission to be there, if it was shelo b'rishus, then when the other ox comes in from outside and gores in the chatzar, it's considered to be keren b'rishus harabim. And again, lav davka b'rishus harabim, but it's not b'rishus hanizak, so it's not considered to be keren b'rishus hanizak, and therefore he's going to be putter. So Rashi points out, what do you mean putter? If you come and gore in somebody else's rishus, all that says is that it's not keren b'rishus hanizak, and that you're not chayev nezek shalem, that you're still going to be chayev chatzi nezek. So when we say putter, we mean we're putter from nezek shalem, and you're chayev only chatzi nezek. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Hay itzasa, there was a woman, the also lemeipa bahu besa, who went to bake in a certain house, asa barche demari besa, a goat belonging to the homeowner came, Achalalisha ate the dough, chavel umes, it overheated and it died. So she's going to be chayev. Chayev Rava lishlume tmei barcha. So Rava was mechayev her to pay the value of the goat to the homeowner. So says the Gemara, lema pligi ad Rav. Shall we say that Rava argues on Rav? The Amar Rav. Because Rav says, Havila Shalotokal. Because Rav, we saw yesterday, said that a person is not responsible for damage done to an animal on account of the animal eating, because we say that the animal simply shouldn't have eaten that which it ate. But over here, Rava was Machayev the woman, because the goat ate the dough that the woman was kneading. Says the Gemara, Hachi Hashta, Hasam Shalom Bershus, Lo Kibla Lenitirusa. Hacha Bershus, Kibla Lenitirusa. Over there, we were discussing a case where a person brought food into a chatzar belonging to somebody else, without rishus. So that person who brought the food in never accepted upon himself the responsibility, the obligation to guard the peiros and make sure that the animal of the homeowner didn't come and eat them. However, over here, the woman is accepting upon herself rishus because she had permission to come into the homeowner's house and bake. So she accepted upon herself the shmira, the obligation to guard the dough to make sure that the animals belonging to the homeowner wouldn't come and eat them. So the Gemara is going to point out, by the way, that in a couple of lines, that this heightened responsibility of shmira, when a person has rishus to bring their item into a place belonging to somebody else, only applies where that homeowner is then not going to be there. Because otherwise, if you have permission, Reuven has permission to go into Shimon's chatzar and bring something there, if Shimon is still around, there's really no reason that Reuven should now be obligated to make sure that none of Shimon's belongings get damaged by what he's bringing into the chatzar. The Gemara is going to say that when a woman would go into a house to knead dough, because she would have to roll up her sleeves, it was not snias, it was assumed, therefore, that the homeowner was going to check out. The homeowner was going to leave and go elsewhere. So if you have permission to be someplace and the homeowner is not there, then I understand why I'm accepting upon myself the responsibility to make sure that the homeowner's objects, that the homeowner's items don't get damaged by that which I'm bringing in to the chatzar. So the Gemara wants to say, Lav Davka Rava argues on Rav. It's a distinction between whether the woman had permission to be there or not. Says the Gemara, but why is it different from a place where a woman went into a house to grind chitin, to grind wheat? She was there shalobershos viaklosim hemta shalbalabayis potter. And the behema of the balabayis ate the wheat, then she's going to be potter. Vim huska chayeves. So and if she's damaged, then and if she does damage, then she's going to be mechayev. So taima shaloberchos. The reason that we say that she's potter is shaloberchos. Haberchos potter. However, if she was there with rishos, and she would damage, and her things would damage something belonging to the balabayis, then she'd be potter because she was there with rishos. So why over here, when the goat came and ate the stuff that she brought in, if she was there with rishos, why would she be chayiv? So Ami litchon chitin kiven loboy tsniusa midi loboy misalki marvosa dechatzer nafshayu bealea didei ramini terusa. So the Gemara now makes this distinction. When she's there to grind chitin, she doesn't require a heightened level of tznias. Because she doesn't require a heightened level of tznias, the owner of the chaser remains there. And because the owner of the chaser remains there, he keeps on himself the responsibility to guard that which is his. However, avolameifa, but to bake, kivan debai hitzniusa, because she requires a certain level of tznias, marvasa de chaser mesalki nafshayu, the owner of the chatzar is going to leave the premises. Hilkach ala dida ramini terusa. Therefore, she takes on herself the responsibility to guard everything in the chatzar and to make sure that nothing in the chatzar is damaged on account of that which she is doing in the chatzar. That's the distinction that we foreshadowed a couple of minutes ago. Says the Gemara Vayter now. Hich neshora lechatzar balabayas. If a person brings a shor into the chatzar of a balabayas, so Amar Rava, hichna shor lechatzar balabayas shelo bershus. If a person brings a shor into the chatzar of a balabayas shelo bershus, the chofer ba boros sichin ma'aros, and the shor which entered the chatzar of the balabayas shelo bershus digs a bunch of boros sichin ma'aros, digs a bunch of pits. So balashor chaya beniske chatzar. So the balashor is going to be chaya for the damage that it caused to the chatzar by digging all this stuff in the chatzar. Ubal chatzar chayiv beniskei abar. However, the bala chatzar is going to be chayiv if something is damaged in the bar, even though the shor, who had no permission to go there, dug the pit. So afal gav diyamar mar ki yichre ish bar velo shor bar. And even though the pasuk, the psukim dealing with the chiyav of bar, talk about what happens if a person digs a bar, not if a shor digs a bar. Hacha kiven dislei lahayech lemalve velo kamalia kaman de charya dummy. Because since the owner of the chatzar, rather, should have filled the pit and didn't fill the pit, it's as if he dug the pit himself. Rashi points out that the only time you're chayav for a bar is a bar of hefker. If it's a bar that belongs in your rishus, then you're not chayav for it because nobody had the right to be in your rishus. So Rashi points out, well, if it's a bar of hefker, when should you have filled up the bar? If a shor comes into your yard, digs a bar, and the only time you're chayav for damages caused by the bar is when you're mafkir the bar, so when exactly should you have filled up the bar? So Rashi points out, makame delifkarei, da bar dideyu, v'chi afkar basarachi nosen takola b'shus harabim. In other words, you should have filled it up before you were mafkir it, because then you owned it, and you should have filled it up. Once you neglect to fill it up, and then you're mafkir it, because you had the opportunity to fill it up, we're going to consider it as if you dug it in the first instance. V'yamar Rava, Rava says, Vayter, hichnis shorah l'chatzar balabayis, if a person brings a shorah into the chatzar of a balabayis, shelo b'rishus, v'hizik es habalabayis, and the shorah damages the balabayis, o balabayis huzak bo, or the balabayis is damaged by it. What does the passive lashon huzak mean? Huzak means the balabayis was walking around in his chatzar, and then he trips over the shor, and he falls, and he hurts himself. So then he's going to be chayiv, because the shor was there, shelo b'rishus. However, rovatz putter, if the shor was rovates, if the shor just crouched down, then it's going to be putter. So the Gemara says in Mishum the rovatz putter. Wait, hang on. The shor was there shelo b'rishus. If the shor causes damage, it's going to be chayiv. But if the shor crouches down, all of a sudden it's going to be putter. Why should it be putter? Simply because it's causing damage through crouching down. So Papa, my rovatz shehirbitz glalim. Rovatz doesn't mean it crouched down. Rovatz means it caused damage by defecating in the chatzer. It defecated in the chatzer. So vinatfu kalev shel balabayis. And how did it do damage? It did damage by soiling the kalim of the balabayis. Dave glolim bar, because the glolim is considered to be a bar, because it's something that you're mafkir. Rashi points out it's only a bar once it hits the ground. Let's say the glolim does damage while it's actually falling from the animal. Then Rashi says that would have a din of tsroros, and you would be chayiv chatzi nezek tsroros for the glolim. But after once the glolim is on the ground, it's considered to be a bar. And we don't see any situation where you're chayiv for nizke kelim in a bar. Says the Gemara, "Bolhani chalishmuel demar kol takala baru." That's only good according to Shmuel, who says that any takala, any hazard in the public domain, any hazard anywhere, has a din of a bar. But according to Rav, who says that a stam damage is considered has a din of a shor and not a din of a bar, what are you going to say? Because Rav says that until you're mafkarit, it doesn't have a din. It doesn't have a din of a bar. Says the Gemara, Samri, stam glolim afkure mafkar luhu. Nah, it's not a kasha, because what are we talking about? We're talking about glolim. Stam glolim, a person is going to be mafkar, and therefore it has a din of a bar. Vamar Rava. Rava says, "Vayter nichnas lechatzar balabayis shelo b'rishus. If a person enters a chatzar of a balabayis shelo b'rishus, vehizek es balabayis, and it damages, and he damages the balabayis, or balabayis huzak bo, and the balabayis or the balabayis is damaged through him. In other words, either it's a hezek biyadayim or a hezek shelo biyadayim. Chayev, then he's going to be chayev. Hiziko balabayis potter. However, if the balabayis damages the shor, then the balabayis is going to be potter. Samra papa lo amran el dolav yadavei. That's only if the bala chotzer didn't know that the shor was in his chotzer. Aval haviyadavei, but if the bala chotzer knew that the shor was in his chotzer, then hiziko balabayis chayiv. Then if the balabayis damages the shor, then he's going to be chayiv. My time of why mishum diomer lenihi disalcha rishus lafuke lazuke leslach rishus. Even though you had rishus to kick me out of your chatzer, you never had rishus to damage me biyadayim. Vazulatamayu, and they go according to their own reasoning. Diomer Rava v'same Rapapa, because Rava says in the or others say that it's Rapapa. Shneim Bershus, if they're both someplace Bershus, or Shneim Shelo Bershus, or if they're both someplace where they don't have Bershus, so Rashi says, what Shneim Bershus, as if they're both in a case, they're both in Rishus Arabim, or they're both in a Chatzar Shel Shutfin, and a case of Shneim Shelo Bershus, is let's say if both of them are running, in Rishos HaRabim. Tosfot says, Shneim Shelo Brishos could also mean if they're both in a chatzar that belongs to a third party, where neither of them have a right to be. Then Eziko says, if they damage one another, then chayavim. Then they're going to be chayav, because if they damage biadayim, then they're going to be chayav. Husku zebazeh, however, if they're damaged passively through one another, then pturin, then they're going to be putter. So taima the shneim bershus, or shneim shelo bershus. Why do we make a distinction between hiziku and husku? That's only because either we're talking about where they were both someplace bershus, or they were both someplace shelo bershus. Aval echad bershus ve'echad shelo bershus. However, if one person was there bershus and one person was there without rishus, then the bershus potter. Then the one who was there with rishus is going to be potter, even if he did damage biyadayim. V'shelo bershus chayev, and the one who is there shelo bershus is going to be chayev, even if he did damage passively, even if he did damage, shelo biyadayim. So says the Gemara now, Viter. So nafal labar v'hivish meimav. Now the next case we had in the Mishnah was with a shor falls into the pit and soils, and he sullies the water that's there, and we said chayev. So Amar Rava, lo shonu ela shevish b'shas nefilo. The only time he's chayev is when he damages the water, is when he soils the water, when he spoils the water at the time of his falling. Avli yachar nefilo potter. However, after the shore falls, he's going to be futter. Why? My time I have a shore bar, because ironically, the shore, who is now sort of lifeless in the pit, has a din of bar. Umayim kalim, and mayim have a din of kalim. Why? Rashi points out, because any inanimate object has a din of a kli lagabe this halacha. So ironically, you have a shor that's considered a bar, mayim that's considered kalim, and we never find a case where a bar is chaya for damage caused to kalim. Says the Gemara, well, honey chalashmul diamar kol takalabaru. Again, the Gemara sort of repeats the same conversation we had a couple of minutes ago. All's well and good according to Shmuel, who says that any takala, any hazard is considered to be a bar. Elo l'rav diamar avdemafker le maikala meimar. But according to Rav, who says that it doesn't have the status of a bar until you're mafker it, what are you going to say? And over here, we're not going to say, like we answered earlier, that we're dealing with a case where you were mafkerit, because before we were talking about glolim, which have no value, and therefore a person is going to be mafker glolim. Here, we're talking about a whole body, we're talking about a whole carcass of a shor. So let's say the guy was a mafkerit. So what can you say according to Rav? The distinction is like this. Not b'shas nefila to after nefila. It's loshanu, when do we learn the halacha that the shor is going to be chayiv? It's only when the body of the shor caused the water to become putrid. Aval hivish merecho, but if it was stamped the reyach of the shor that caused the damage, then potter, then it's going to be potter. Why? My taima grumma bialmahu, because the smell, the stench of a shor is only a grumma. The grumma bialma lo mechayev, and you're not going to be chayev for grumma, because grumma ben ezekin is potter, says the Gemara Viter. So haya aviv obno litocho mishale mesakofer. However, so we said that if the shor falls into the pit, and if the balachatzer's father or son were actually in the pit, and the shor kills them, then the shor is going to be chayiv. So says the Gemara, and we said that the owner of the shor has to pay kofar. So says the Gemara, Vamaya Tamu, why does the owner of the shor have to pay kofar? It's a shor tam, and the only time the owner has to pay kofar is if it's a shor muad. So why are you being mechayivim kofar? So marab muad lipol al bnei adam b'boros askinan. We're talking about a shor that's a muad to fall on people when the shor walks into a pit. So this is not the first time this has happened. Says the Gemara, well, iachi bar katolahu. Well, if that's the case, then the shor should have been killed already. In other words, if it's a muad, then when the shor kills like this, the shor is chayiv skila. So how is the shor around that it's then falling on somebody else in a pit? It was already chayiv misa. So says the Gemara, Am Rav Yosef techazi yaroka v'nafal. No, because it was an accident. In other words, when we say that it's a muad, it doesn't actually mean that it's a shor muad. It means that it's not the first time that the shor has killed like this. But the prior times, it was an accident when it fell on somebody in a pit. That's why it wasn't put to death previously when it previously when it killed people like this. And what's the situation? So this, again, we saw last week, but the Chaza Yerokov Anafal, that it saw vegetation in the pit, and it was enticed to go over to the edge of the pit. Once it was at the edge of the pit, it fell over, and it fell on these people. So Shmuel Amar, Hamani Rav Yossi Aglili, that this Shmuel says, no, you don't even have to be talking about a situation where it's a muad. You could say that this Brisa is going according to Rav Yossi Aglili, the Amar Tam Meshalem Chatzi Kofer, who says that by a time you have to pay chatzi kofar. So you don't have to say that this animal is a muad at all. You could learn that the animal is a tam. In that case, if it's a tam, why do you have to pay kofar? Why does the Mishnah say you have to pay kofar? When the Mishnah says you have to pay kofar, it's not talking about kofar sholem, it's only talking about chatzi kofar, according to the shita of Rav Yossi HaGlili. So ulam Rav Yossi HaGlili, damar krav tarfan. So ulam Rav Yossi Aglili, damar krav tarfan, diamar keren b'chatzar anizak, nezek shalem mishalem, sachanami kofar shalem mishalem. So if you want to say that keren b'chatzar anizak pays nezek shalem, then when you're assessing a kofar payment in chatzar anizak, the person should also be mechayev to pay kofar shalem, not only chatzi kofar. So bishlam al ula, haynu diktani haya aviv obno lesocho. I understand, according to Ula, who learns out that he's now saying like Rav Yossi Aglili in the name of Rav, that he holds like Rav Tarfon, that Karen Bechatzara Nizek pays Nezek Shalem. So I understand if you're trying to teach me that he pays Nezek Shalem or Kofar Shalem, why we set up the fact pattern to be dealing with a shor that falls into a pit, and who's in the pit? The father or the son or of the Balachatzar. Because we're talking about Karen Bershus HaNizak, and therefore, if it's Bershus HaNizak, who's going to be there? It's going to be the father or the Mestama. It's going to be a relative of somebody who owns the Chatzar. Ela L'Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, who Stam learns out this halacha like Rav Yossi Aglili, that we're not talking about Kofar Shalem, we're talking about Chatzi Kofar. It would always be the case that a tam pays chatzi kofar, and therefore it's not totally on it being keren bershus hanizak. So ma'ari aviv abno afilu acharnami. So why are we dafka talking about where it's the father or the son of the homeowner of the bala chatzar in the pit? It should be the same case if it's anybody in the pit. So says the Gemara, yeah, of course. So urcha the milsak tani. So says the Gemara, well, we're stopped talking about a usual case. We don't have to dafka be talking about a case where it's the father or the son of the Bala Chatzar who's in the pit, because we don't dafka have to be talking about Karen Bershus HaNizak. But who's likely to be in a pit in somebody's property? Bistumma, it's going to be a relative of the homeowner, and therefore we set up the case where it's the father or the son of the homeowner who's killed by the shore that falls into the pit. Says the Gemara Vayter, v'miknes Bershus Bala Chatzar Chayiv. And if the shor came in with Rishos, then the Balachatzar is going to be Chayiv. Then we saw the Shita of Rebbe, who said that the Balachatzar is not going to be Chayiv for damage done to the shor unless he expressly was Makabel Shmira on himself. That's Rebbe Shita, that you are not Chayiv Shmira on anything, even if the things in your Rishos, unless you expressly are Makabel Shmira. So says the Gemara Itmar, Rav Amar Hilchus HaKatanakama. Rav says that the halacha is like the Tanakama. Ushmuel Amar Hilchus HaKarebi. And Shmuel says that the halacha is like Rebbe. So Tana Rabbanan. So we have a brisa. Kano Sharcha Vishamru. If a person says, you can bring your shor into my property, but you have to watch it. Hizik, if it damages, then Chayiv. Then the Bala Shor is going to be Chayiv, because he was told to watch his own animal. Huzak, however, if the shor is damaged, Potter, then the Bala Chatzar is going to be Potter, because he told the Bala Shor to watch his own animal. Kano Sharcha Va'ani Yeshmerenu. However, if a person says, bring in your shor and I'll watch it, Huzak Chayiv. If the shor is damaged, then the Bala Chatzar is going to be Chayiv, because now he accepted upon himself Shmira. Hizik, however, if the shor damages, then Potter, then the Bala Shor is going to be Potter again, because the Bala Chatzar took upon himself the responsibility of watching the shor. So says the Gemara, well, hagufakasha, your brisa is self-contradictory. Amrit kenosharcha v'shamro hizik chayev huzak pater. We said that if a person says, you can bring your shor into my property, but you have to watch it, then the balachatzar is going to be pater. Taima demarle shamro. The reason that the balachatzar would be pater is because he told the balashor expressly to watch his own shor. Shamar dechaya balashar upatar balachatzar. Hastama, however, if he stam said, you may bring your shor into my rishos, what's the diuk? Then chaya balachatzar upatar balashar. Debestama makabal alenu tirusa, because it's mashma that the only time the balachatzar is off the hook is when he told the balashar to watch his own shor. But if it was a stam case, the balachatzar would be chayiv because mistama the balachatzar is makabel the shmira. But ema seifa, now look at the seifa. Kno shor chavaniyish merenu. If he says, you may bring your ox in and I'll watch it, who's a chayiv? Now the balachatzar is going to be chayiv, hizik pater, and the balashar is going to be pater. Taima diamar levani yeshmerenu. The reason is because he expressly took upon himself the shmira. Who the mechayiv balachatzar pater balashar? Hastama chayiv balashar pater balachatzar. However, if it was a stam case, then the balashar would be chayiv and the balachatzar would be pater. The bistama lo kibbalan tirusa. Because bistama, in a stam case, the balachatzar would not have been makabal upon himself shmira. Asan le Rebbe, diyamar achi kabal alani tirusa. Now you're the diuk is like Rebbe, who says that stam, you're not makabal shmira. Why? Because you're not makabal shmira until you take upon yourself expressly to watch the thing. So achi kabal alani tirusa, balabayas lishmar. So Reisha v'Rabbanan, the sefer Rebbe, so the diuk is contradictory. So the way we can explain the diuk so that it's not contradictory is we'll say, well, it's not contradictory, this is a machlokas. The Reisha goes like the Rabbanan, and therefore even Stam, he accepts upon himself Shmira, unless he affirmatively says otherwise. The Seifa is going like Rebbe, and therefore Stam, he doesn't accept upon himself Shmira, unless he expressly does accept upon himself Shmira. Says the Gemara, some Rav Elazar Tavra, you're right, it's the Mishnah is broken, it's contradictory, you can't explain it all consistently. Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. So Rava Amar Kulu Rabbanani. Rava says, no, it's all going like the Rabbanan, and I did the Nasav Reisha Shamro, and in the Seif of the Brisa, it's Lav Dafka, that the homeowner, that the Balachatzar is going to be Chayiv only when he says Va'ani Ashmarenu, because even in a Stam case, the Balachatzar is going to be chayiv. But since in the first case, since in the Reisha, he says to the Balashar, you may bring your shor in, but you have to watch it. Tana Seifa Vani Yashmarenu. That, therefore, in the Seifa, we deal with a case where the Balachatzar says, and I'll watch it, but the halacha would be the same, even where he doesn't say anything. So long as he grants permission for the shor to come in, he accepts upon himself Shmira. Rapapa Amar Kula Rebbe. Rapapa says that everything's like that. The whole Brisa is going according to Rebbe. Vesavalak Reb Tarfon, and he also Reb Tarfon, Diyamar Karen Bechatzar Anizak. Nezek Shalem Mishalem, that Karen B'chatzar Anizak has to pay Nezek Shalem, and Hilkach Amar Lo Shamro Lo Makni Le Makam B'chatzar, and therefore when he says to the Balashor that you have to watch it, he is not being Makne any portion of his Chatzar to the Balashor, Vavile, and therefore when the Shor does damage in the homeowner's Chatzar, it's Karen B'chatzar Anizak. The Karen B'chatzar Anizak Mishalem Nezek Shalem, and Karen B'chatzar Anizak is Mishalem Nezek Shalem. If he was makne a part of his chatzar to the balashar, and then when the balashar did damage, it wouldn't be Karen B'chatzar Anizak, because it would consider to be as if the balashar had a right to be in the chatzar. That's why it said Shamar. So Amar Le Shamro. So Lo Amar Le Shamro. When he doesn't say to the Balashar that you have to guard the shar, Aknui Akni Le Makam Chatzar Vavile Chatzar Ashutfin. Then he's makne himself a little place in the Chatzar, and then it's Karen B'Chatzar Ashutfin. VeKaren B'Chatzar Ashutfin Einem Mashalim Ela Chatzi Nezek. And Karen B'Chatzar Ashutfin is only chayev in Chatzi Nezek. So it comes out that the whole Brisa could go like Rebbe. Why then are we talking where he tells the other guy Shamro, even if it's Stam, he's not Makabal Nitirusa? Ah, the reason is because when he says Shamro, it's considered to be Karen, when he says Shamro, it's considered to be Karen B'chatzar Ashutfin, and the other guy would be Chayev, but only Chatzi Nezek. When he doesn't say Shamro, then he doesn't give the guy any part in his Chatzar, and when he doesn't give the guy any part in his Chatzar, when the animal later does damage, it's considered to be Karen B'chatzar Anizek. Karen B'chatzar Anizek is Mechayev Nezek Shamro. So tomorrow, God willing, we'll pick up from the next Mishnah, which talks about more cases of damage caused by Shvarim.